Hi there, this is Mike Quinn. You'll know me as Nine Numb in Star Wars, and you're listening to the McSauce Podcast.
Of the McSauce Podcast. My name is Paul McGinty. With me, as always, are Ian, the Sauce Farmer.
Hello.
And Matt LaSalle. It is Monday night, October 21st. Tonight, we are talking a little Would You Rather This or That Halloween themed episode. We're gonna get into all kinds of spooky, scary funness for this penultimate episode of the 200s. I guess this is the final episode of the 200s. The episode before episode 300, that's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. 299, as it were.
But before we get into the episode, let's do housekeeping with Ian Sharpley.
McSauce.com, home of our webcomic and this here dear podcast. You can listen to the podcast in a number of ways. Go on Spotify or Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Podomatic. You can catch us on Odyssey1.com. We have an internet radio channel there. You can go to TeePublic to check out some of our t-shirts. So go there, TeePublic.com, type in McSauce. M-C-S-O-S-S, and check out some of our wares there. And for episode 300, we're doing something special. We're having a live recorded episode at Brew Gentlemen on Wednesday, October 30th at 7 p.m., sponsored by New Dimension Comics and Arkham Gift Shop. We'll be giving out some gifts when we're playing some games. We'll have a Q&A session, and we will also do a little bit of just the regular podcast format there. So I'm sure we'll have a rip-roaring good time. Come down, dress up. You can be a ghoul. You can be a goblin. The McSauce team, I think, has not settled on what we're going to come down dressed as, but do believe that we will be dressed for the haunting occasion of episode 300.
Yeah, costumes are on lockdown, but we are absolutely going to be dressed up, and boy, is this going to be a fun show. We've got a lot of great prizes. We've got t-shirts. We've got exclusive McSauce t-shirts. I am so excited for this. We're going to blow the fucking doors off of Brew Gentlemen. They're going to be like, holy shit.
Can you guys come every weekend?
Here? Yeah, right. It's gonna be insane. If you're not there, you're gonna cry about it for the rest of your life.
You're gonna be haunted by it for the rest of your days. Every October, it's going to come to you like a phantom in the night. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you guys,
you were visited by a phantom in the night.
A couple days ago, I jumped out of bed and I was having some horrific dream. I'm not really sure. I do remember a little bit of it. I jumped out of bed and according to my wife, I was screaming, no, no, no. And I went to the door.
Wait, you got up and went to the
up,
door?
Yeah, I jumped out of bed and I was screaming, no, no, no. And my wife was like, what are you doing? Please get back into bed. And I was stunned and confused because I don't think I woke up until she started talking to me. And then I was like, oh, and she's like, what are you doing? And I was trying to run back in my head what my dream was. Eventually I went back to sleep and it continued. And my dream was that I was working in a print shop again, but I'm not really sure exactly what made me jump out in terror and say, no, no, no. I don't, maybe
the spirits of Toner's past.
use Comic Sans is what somebody told me to do for a poster. I don't know. But yeah, I did have another episode where I jumped out of bed haunted in my sleep. So that'll happen to you if you don't come down to Brew Gentlemen on the 30th at 7 p.m. to hang out with us. You'll be visited by ghosts in your sleep.
It's going to be a great time. We've gotten a lot of good feedback about a lot of people coming down, and we have a limited number of McSauce-tober t-shirts. So if you want a t-shirt, I recommend getting there early and buying one as soon as you get there. Hot, hot stuff for a hot Halloween night. So tonight, we are going to do a little Would You Rather, a little this or that, Halloween style, McSauce-tober style. And, Matt did such a great job
Thank you.
Whenever we did the hate episode, giving Ian and I some rapid fires for things we would hate. Matt's going to MC our round of Would You Rather tonight.
And Matt, feel free to jump in on these as well.
I get to participate.
Absolutely. You don't have to just be the disher of Would You Rather. You can also...
I'm the MC every episode. Those are my initials.
That's terrible. Jesus really Christ. Good. Also so really terrible. Corny. And McSauce Nation, when you listen Candy to this episode, corny. Feel free to hit us up on social media. Let us know what you would rather.
Let's do it, Matt. Let's get in.
Ian, I wanted to ask you something.
Absolutely.
Would you rather meet a vampire or meet a werewolf? What a dumb question.
I mean, it's only dumb if you don't think about it. There are no dumb questions, only dumb MCs. So, vampire or werewolf, right? So, let's think about this.
Where are we meeting them? Are we meeting them for coffee? Or are we meeting them in a spooky Halloween cemetery?
Let's assume that it is your traditional meeting place. It's going to be Devil's Night
Wild Wings
in a cemetery. Yeah, or a Wild Wings parking lot, however.
Devil's Night in a brewery?
Devil's Night in a brewery, as you go to see idiots just talk off the top of their heads about nothingness.
We've got plans sometimes.
You're met in the parking lot in Braddock, PA, by either a werewolf or a vampire. Now, I think that you can... Could you reckon or talk your way out of getting your blood drained out of your body with a vampire? Because a werewolf is just all primal rage and just wants to tear stuff apart. Non-thinking beast, I would assume.
Matt.
Whereas a vampire, you might be able to reason with a vampire. What if it's a sexy lady vampire?
Matt, you said, what a dumb question. What a dumb question, because you think it's a slam dunk answer?
Yeah.
I think it's a slam dunk answer.
I do think it's a slam dunk answer.
I'm sorry.
And let's just assume it's Dracula. It's Duncan Regeer from Monster Squad.
Yes, yes.
It's not sexy lady vampire.
It's not your run-of-the-mill, just everyday vampire that you run into in Braddock, PA. It's the king of vampires.
Mm. So Matt, this is a slam dunk answer for you. Would what would you rather?
I would rather meet a vampire, because I feel like they might bite you on the neck and turn you into a vampire, but it would be a lot less traumatic than getting shredded into pieces by a werewolf.
There are also ways to get away from a vampire that might be at your disposal, depending upon what kind of universe we have here. Maybe you're lugging around some holy water. You can throw it at the vampire.
Okay, first of all, the question wasn't, what would you rather fight? It was, what would you rather meet?
You could flee. I'm assuming
no,
flight.
It's not. What would you rather run away from? You have to meet this person. Maybe they're actually not so bad. It's just, you know, they're a little scary to look at. But the meeting itself, like, you know...
If you're meeting one of these ghouls, they're going to try
Fred
to kill
werewolf
you.
Werewolf is coming with the purest of intentions.
If you're meeting
he's
a werewolf,
just misunderstood.
You're dead.
Wait, I'm sorry.
You're dead.
Yeah.
What?
These
meeting a what?
These monsters are going to...
A werewolf.
God damn it. These monsters...
I hate this month!
These monsters are going to try to kill you. They're not just going to
well, then
ask
why is the
you
question,
for a
what
beer.
Would you rather meet, not what would you rather be killed by?
Well, because if...
You could get away from a vampire.
I guess if you get bit by a vampire, you technically are going to die and become one of the undead.
It depends, though, right? What if he sucks all of your blood out, and then you're just completely dead, right?
Well, is that how vampires work? Either way, you're going to be dead. But I think... You've got potential to, one, talk your way out of vampire bite. I feel like if we tried to run from a vampire, it might be like, this isn't worth my time. But a werewolf is just going to, it's going to put up the chase. It's going to rip you to shreds. There's no way, the werewolf is, no, you should rather
you have a better chance with a vampire than a werewolf. Werewolf is all horror all the time.
If you can't talk your way out of it, you get superpowers.
It's a win-win situation with a vampire. Next question.
Paul, would you rather win a contest for having the best costume or win a contest for having the best carved pumpkin?
Ooh. I think I would rather have... I would rather win for best carved pumpkin because I generally don't like dressing up and my artistic side would rather carve something out of a pumpkin than have to go through the labor of having to work for getting dressed up in some sort of costume.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that getting dressed up, it could just be you pick the stupidest costume and everybody laughed because it was just dumb. Or I guess it could be something where it was like really over the top, like a fully functional xenomorph costume or something crazy like that.
That's what I was imagining. Like if you're going to win that,
like an
if
elaborate you're gonna win cosplay. That
contest, it needs to be elaborate. There needs to be like mechanics in the back with opening wings and an actual like flaming skull and stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking along the lines of like being ironic and stupid, and that's what would cause these dumb judges of this fictional Halloween contest, these dumb hipster judges voting. I don't even know what the costume would be that would win that I could possibly have.
We've been to a lot of conventions and we've seen award-winning costumes. Why don't we base the judges on us? What would we vote as a winner?
Something obscure, I'm assuming. Like a fully functioning jazz costume where they could transform into car mode.
I think would win for me. We saw those two Transformers. One was movie Ironhide, which doesn't count, but the other one was real jazz.
Yeah. So something like that would win for me. Matt, what would win your Halloween costume contest? Something gory, something twisted, huh?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I feel like you don't see that as often as you see cosplay type stuff, which is what you guys were describing. But I would like to see something with movie quality, like horror effects. I think that would be really cool.
I think I'd have to go for like some just big mechanical thing. I feel like every year I see the picture of someone at San Diego Comic-Con dressed up as the San Diego Convention Center, and everyone's like, cosplay's over, this is the winner. I think it's stupid. I think we're beyond like ironic costumes at this point. I want to see like jazz roll up, like, oh my god, someone you resurrected Scatman Carruthers.
I think a Spawn costume with a cape that could like do things, or like, you know, have some, I don't know how it would do it, but have some functional grip on something, or I don't know. I think that would be cool to have the cape actually be.
But you would rather
like
win
motorized.
Pumpkin carving.
Yeah, I would. Yes, my ego and artistic nature trumps all of that.
Matt, what do you think? Would you rather win for a costume or pumpkin carving?
I don't know. I mean, I think costume would be a little bit more fun. I get it. The artistic.
So much for a perfect score tonight.
I'm sorry. The artistic.
Artistry?
The artistic arts.
I'm struggling. The artistic artist inside of us. I've done 299 of these, right?
The artistic artist inside you. Gotcha.
Yeah.
That likes to art. Had art thrust upon him.
I feel like it makes sense to choose the pumpkin carving because we all like to create, but there's something that is just so so linked to the holiday as dressing up even more than carving pumpkins, I would say. I feel like if you have a really great costume, it can, I don't know, if you find the right party to go to, it can actually be pretty cool.
Well, there you go, Matt.
And who wants to scoop those innards out of a pumpkin anyway?
It's not that bad.
And then it gets like on your forearm and then it crusts.
Only if you refuse to wash your hands.
How many times do you have to wash your hands over the course of pumpkin carving? I say it's like eating crab legs. You only wash your hands with one of those lemony net wet nap things.
I'd hate to see you carve a pumpkin. This sounds like a murder
scene. I am fastidiously neat when it comes to like my hands being dirty. So like when I eat crab legs, I spend half the time just using every napkin in the goddamn place. I feel the same way if I was carving a pumpkin. I would just be cleaning my hands the entire time.
Do you use the little wet naps when you're carving pumpkins?
No, I don't. I haven't carved a pumpkin.
They should sell those. Somebody should like actually market pumpkin carving wet naps.
Specially formulated.
Right, to get the
pumpkin guts off your hands.
Anti-pump gut.
That's disgusting. So
that
gross.
That is gross, anti-pump gut. Ian, whenever you would trick or treat, were you more of a pillowcase kind of guy, a bag, or like a plastic kind of tote thing, like a plastic jack o' lantern?
Wait, is that the question? Pillowcase or tote?
Yeah,
old school pillowcase. I felt they were more durable.
For those rugged elements that is trick or treating.
Well, we live in Pittsburgh, and it can either be 80 degrees, even whenever we were kids. It could be warm, or it could be
cold.
Snowing.
Snowing, right.
Yes. So you had to have something with a little bit of strength to get through the different elements that you might encounter.
Would a plastic jack-o'-lantern not be durable?
Wouldn't be big enough. Where did you go trick-or-treating? Like, how big was your area that you covered? How many houses do you think that you hit?
Well, it got larger the older I got. I was more willing to really, you know, work for my candy. Mm-hmm. And
who works hard for his candy.
And I don't have a number, but I did graduate from the plastic jack-o'-lantern to a pillowcase, but that was partially because, you know, when you're like 11 or 12, the plastic jack-o'-lantern is for babies, and you would be unmercifully made fun of if you went out with that and not a pillowcase at that age.
Very true. Paul, pillowcase or plastic jack-o'-lantern?
Plastic McDonald's pumpkin.
Those were always cool. You could have the white ghost,
or
the green witch.
Ghost bucket.
So Paul liked to get three pieces of candy when he went trick-or-treating.
We would work out our path through the neighborhood to make multiple stops back at home base. We would hit north, south, east, and west with a home base stop in the middle. So we didn't have to make everything in one run.
Yeah. No, we always kept it in pretty much, I can run it back in my head, like the same loop around and up through Garden City every year. And we hit a shitload of houses, but there was never any time that we could come back to home base. That we just went out, looped all the way around and up and down, and then came back. So you had to have a big payload, something to carry.
There were all the streets north of Excelsior, all the streets south of Excelsior. There were.
Did you live on Excelsior?
Edgewood or Edgewood, I think, on the other side of Brownsville. There were the streets on the other side of Allen Avenue. I lived on Millbridge, which was at the corner of Millbridge and Excelsior. So yeah, we were hitting the four quadrants, filling up our McDonald's totes with candy.
It always felt like trick-or-treating was so short whenever we were kids. But now that I'm
a... serious?
Yeah, I thought it was
like
really short.
We were
short.
Out all fucking night.
Really? No, it felt like it was so short and we had to come back and it was all over. People turning their lights off. But now I feel like it goes forever. I'm just sitting out on my porch handing out candy for years.
I feel like it's the total opposite.
Yeah? Huh.
Yeah.
I'm with Matt.
Yeah.
I feel like shit's done before the sun's down.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I can remember there was one year where I was out until almost 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. and it felt so extremely late that particular year. But every other year, it always felt like it was over before you knew it.
I could be totally, totally off, but I feel like there were years we were out till like 11 at night. Trick or treating, and maybe I'll talk to my mom this week, and she'll be like, "Nah, it was about 9:30." But I think
traditionally
we were out late.
It's over around 8. Like, I think
is it? I thought it was over at 9. Maybe
well,
I'm
I think
wrong.
It like officially maybe.
Yeah,
but I feel like most kids and families are done by 8. Yeah. You know, because. You know, parents don't want to walk around with their goddamn kids to get candy for 3 hours when they can just go to the store and buy it.
Yeah, but what fun is that, Matt?
For the parents? None whatsoever.
I think it might be some fun
for
the parents.
I wish I had the budget to hand out little liquor bottles. Because
go to jail. That's great.
Something too.
Oh, for them. Okay. I thought you meant for the kids.
Yeah, they're not. The kids aren't going to know what's up.
In my neighborhood, the dads usually walk around with beers anyway, so...
Yeah, I feel like I feel like Halloween's one of those nights where you get a free open alcohol policy pass.
Yeah, I think so. Matt, next question.
Freddy or Jason?
Freddy Claus, Jason Bateman, I mean, which... Who are we talking about
to
here?
Kill you or to meet? Or to be your co-pilot in the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, because we turned this whole...
Or who are we more fans of?
Let's go with the fan thing.
Fan. Oh, okay.
I think as a kid, I was a Freddy fan. I even dressed up as Freddy 1 year. I had one of those like elaborate like prosthetic makeup masks where you had to paint it and everything.
I remember that.
Yeah. But as an adult, I like Jason a lot better. Big Jason fan now. I like his stoic nature.
I was always more scared of Freddy. Uh-huh. He has like nightmarish face, and the glove always was disturbing to me. So I was always more frightened of Freddy.
That hasn't changed from kid to adult. Because I feel like Freddy's a fucking joke now. If Freddy rolled in here right now, it would take killing one of you for me to be afraid of him. I'd be like, what was this, like, evening at McSauce Studios? He's going to tell us some jokes?
Yeah, I never liked those jokes, but that was before my fear was before actually seeing any of the movies, because in the 80s, they marketed horror items to kids all the time.
What did you see first, Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street?
I didn't see Friday the 13th until I was probably 21 years old. So, like, it was a long time. Yeah, just didn't care, didn't want to see it. Nightmare on Elm Street, probably around the same, like, 18, somewhere around there. It was a late horror watcher.
I think the first Nightmare on Elm Street I saw was Dream Warriors, which took a lot of the scare out of Freddy because that kind of turned it into a superhero movie, in a sense where if you just keep your faculties together and you can... take control of this dream universe, you can beat Freddy. It's no big deal. I think if
except
I would
they all
have seen,
died.
Right, but the science,
the Freddy science.
There.
Okay,
fear science.
It's built into the universe that it is possible, and they do beat him at the end. I think if I saw the first one first.
Tell that to Kincaid in part 4.
I'd be a little more afraid, but since like they built in the dream universe science, like there's a way out, there's a way around it. But you don't really get that with Jason. Like, Jason's just this unstoppable force, even in space.
Well, I feel like you have to not be a teenager and not have sex before marriage, and then you're good to go. I mean, that's what he's looking for. That's what
sexed up teens.
His blade is thirsty for that lust. So, yeah.
Matt.
Freddie.
Freddie for you, but Jason for me. You.
Who'd you pick?
I don't know, man. I really like them both.
You saw both these original outs on opening night.
Your parents took you, yeah.
They were already good parents for Tidal Wave T. They didn't give a shit about the little splash. Like, Matt, watch whatever you want.
No. That's I mean, maybe, but I saw A Nightmare on Elm Street before I saw Friday the 13th, and I think it was on HBO, and my brother and I were watching it, and we were so freaking into it. But it was very scary. And I know I've told this story before, but my dad allowed it to happen, but still with the caveat, you guys are going to not be able to sleep tonight. And that was the extent of his parenting involvement that night. So,
well, I mean, you turned out to be so well adjusted.
I know, right? So we stayed up and we watched it, and sure enough, we used to share a room. We had bunk beds, and sure enough, when we're laying in bed, we were both scared to death. We thought Freddy was in the closet. It was horrifying. And that was back when Freddy was scary. That was before the one-liners like, welcome to primetime, bitch, which
I
love the way that Freddy threw the word bitch around. Boy, did he like that word. I think just for pure nostalgia, Freddy's going to get the nod for me, even though I really like both in their own way. I would say that overall, maybe there's more good Friday the 13th movies.
Maybe.
Maybe not. I don't know. Like, what, the first three, maybe even the first four Freddy Krueger movies are good.
Is Dream Warriors 4?
No, that was 3.
Because I think that's a good movie.
What the hell is part 4? 5 was the Dream Child.
Which one's A New Nightmare?
That was like 6 or 7.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think you had Freddy's Dead and then The New Nightmare. Freddy's Dead, I think, was part 6. But I do not remember what 4 was. But what about the new remakes?
The Dream Master.
The newer remakes.
I remember going to the theater to see Nightmare on Elm Street, and I thought it was decent. I believe that we rented Friday the 13th. The newer one came out in probably, 2010, somewhere around there. I don't remember a lot about that, though.
Yeah.
So I think I'd give the nod to the Elm Street one just because I can kind of remember Jackie Earl Haley's performance. Thought he was good. But other than that, not much on these new movies. They seem like they're kind of primed for a resurgence here then.
Why is that?
Just because it's been a while, and
yeah,
some of the two dominant horror franchises out there, you would think that at least their parent companies would want to do something about
especially
that.
Especially after the success of Halloween last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the new Friday, I say new, I know it's like 10 years old at this point, but the new Friday the 13th was better than A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it brought something new to Jason, mm-hmm. whereas A Nightmare on Elm Street was kind of...
It just like, fleshed out what we knew or assumed.
Yeah, and then I didn't necessarily like that maybe the parents killed an innocent man, like, angle, and then it... Oh, no,
yeah,
he
I'd
really
like him
it.
To just you know, right, be a child molester.
Right.
That's fine.
I want you to be horrifying and scary from the very beginning. No questions.
Don't be wronged, be
right. You're not
a
right.
monster.
So for like half the movie, you're thinking he's sympathetic,
mm-hmm.
almost.
But that's all the kind of storytelling that we're doing now. Whenever we're refreshing and rehashing these franchises, yeah. right? We're providing a sympathetic angle.
Well, they didn't do it with Michael Myers in the new Halloween. They kept him a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But generally, though, you're right. What I liked about Jason, though, in the Friday the 13th remake was he was more brutal. He ran, which I really liked.
I do remember that. That's my one takeaway, which I think him just walking around while in the past was pretty horrifying. A fast Jason is fucking nightmarish. So,
right. When yeah. you see, there's that great shot. I remember it was in the trailer. It's in the beginning of the
that's
movie.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
And he charges at the girl that's kind of like on her back kind of, or on her butt maybe. And the camera angle's kind of looking sort of up at him a little bit
yeah.
as he's running toward you. And it's like, can't get away. He's yeah. too fast.
So if we throw in, like, to expand this question out a little bit, if we get away from Freddy and Jason, if we pull in, is there any other of the 80s slashers? Do you like Leatherface a little bit better? Do you like, I know that you're a big Michael Myers guy.
Yeah, Michael Myers has grown on me significantly over the years. He was always a distant third when I was a kid. I just think that Freddy Krueger's like comedic nature really appealed to me back then. And, I think just maybe the simplicity of Friday the 13th movies appealed to me a little bit more than like Halloween movies.
They also have a little bit more that element of supernatural to them, where the Halloween movies,
right.
as we get older, we're like, oh, there are psychopaths out there that would
right.
do this.
Right. With that, I think the best movie out of all of them is the original Halloween. In spite of what many people say, I like the Rob Zombie versions as well. I would say I probably like Michael Myers the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Huh. Man, the whole world of Leatherface and Texas Chainsaw Massacre is frightening. The fucking South.
That's the
frightening.
I think that's hands down the scariest.
There's not a ton that's supernatural or like other outside of just backwoods madness. Like that stuff. Bothers me and creeps me out. What makes
that the scariest is that there's nowhere to turn. Everywhere you go in that little town, everybody's connected.
Yeah.
Well, what movie?
Yeah. In Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
There's at least no way out.
We're probably thinking, I haven't seen the original in a very long time, or the full way through in a very long time. But in the remake, the sheriff's tied in and
other people in the community.
Okay, I wasn't sure. So that whole, if we can pull in a universe, I think that whole thing, and even just Leatherface face value is pretty fucking scary.
Yeah, that like that look.
Yeah,
that looks really
big,
fucked
giant
up.
Guy with a fucking mask and a chainsaw. Get the fuck out of here.
When I think of like two of the scariest scenes in horror movies, it's and. The one of the monsters isn't even in it. It's the Jessica Biel remake where Arlie Ermey has all the kids in the van, and like he's kind of like flashing the gun at them, and he's giving them a hard time, and they can't leave, and he's just fucking with them. Like it has nothing to do with Leatherface or you know the 80s horrorness of it. It's just fucking scary. And then later on. And that shortly later on in that movie where Leatherface shows up with Eric Balfour's face. And
oh yeah.
it's clearly his face. Like those are two very well done horror movie moments.
Did you see the prequel to that Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yes.
Did you like it?
It was all right. It just felt like the Jessica Biel one with different actors.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, like kind of more of the same. It looked, you know, good, but I never got around to seeing it.
It's all right.
What's crazy is that movie is like what, 16 years old now?
Yeah. Man. Yeah, I don't I don't know off the top of my head, and I don't feel like looking it up. But yeah.
I want to say it came out in 03, maybe?
I was going to say 05. Okay. I mean, we're in the ballpark. So why don't we dip into another would you rather?
Okay. Let me find a good one here. Yeah, okay, here's a good one. Ian, orange or black?
Oh, timely question, because we had an in-house debate over the McSaucetober t-shirt.
Just better. So my personal preference, orange or black?
Yeah.
Or I like black better. Shocking. Than orange, but
shocking.
There are people out there that like orange a whole lot. So I mean,
oh, there's orange fans.
Yeah. You wouldn't believe it, but there's this whole orange army out there. They love it. They love it. They buy cars in orange. They have jackets all orange. Favorite sports teams,
orange men.
Syracuse, orange.
What's their favorite?
Wait,
fruit?
Aren't they the orange men?
I think they took the men out of it because it was racist against orange men. No, they
against,
just changed it.
It was sexist against orange women.
I think they're called orange them.
Orange we. Yeah, they're just the orange now, Syracuse. So they're just representing
That's
the
a
color.
Shitty,
you know?
Right.
It's kind of so weird. It's cool, though. I think I like it.
Yeah, like the Stanford Cardinal. They're not the Cardinals. They're the Cardinal, as in
were
the tree.
The tree?
There is a Cardinal tree, and so they are the tree.
Not the the high-ranking Catholic official?
Did they used to be the Catholic Cardinal? The Cardinals?
No. They were always the tree. Stanford, the university, always was the tree.
So, plural of Cardinal singular tree is
probably cardinals, but they are the Cardinal.
Least favorite college team immediately. That's fucking stupid. That's dumb.
Stupider than the orange, which is just
yeah,
because
the orange is goofy because it's a color. It's the orange is so weird. But if you're purposefully being grammatically incorrect, just to be a piece of shit. I don't like
it. I think it's still grammatically correct if
we are the cardinal.
One,
we are one cardinal.
They're just representing one tree. Yeah. Then that would still be correct if they're just one tree.
I guess so. I'm not feeling it. Matt, orange or cardinal?
black.
Yeah?
Black. Hell yeah. Black's a badass color.
Paul, orange or black?
Black. It goes with everything.
And also, orange is the color of my most hated of sports teams.
The Philadelphia Flyers.
The New York Mets.
Are they orange?
They have orange.
Yeah, they're
highlights.
Blue and orange.
Oh.
Yeah, like orange is fine. It serves, it has its place. In the color spectrum.
Orange is a good team color. Orange, but you have to have black if you were an orange team. I guess you can have dark blue.
What if you had brown and orange?
Well, then brown would supersede the whole color of orange, and you would have to name your team after that color.
Yeah, orange is fine, but like I'm not gonna wear a whole lot of orange. Like I mean, black's just put black anywhere. Black's going to make it happen.
You don't have any orange attire that comes to mind outside of any massage?
I have an orange hoodie.
I just threw away an orange t-shirt yesterday because it's served its purpose and it was beat up and it's...
You sacrificed it to the color gods.
Mm-hmm. Said Syracuse, this is for you. The Qs. Do they call it that? The Qs?
I don't think they do. They're just... I don't know.
Syracuse.
We're just Syracuse. Next question.
Do you believe in ghosts or not believe in ghosts?
You know, as we do this show, every year I come in here and I'm like, nah, I don't believe in ghosts. It's silly shit. But I'm the only one that has like extreme night terrors. And so maybe there's a part of my subconscious that is rebelling against my beliefs that ghosts aren't real and
haunted print shops.
Yeah. It wasn't even haunted. It was just normal print shop and I misspelled a word.
What's your brain doing at night?
It must
that
be.
That results in these terrors.
I don't know. I would imagine that you guys have pretty vivid imaginations as well, and you guys have pretty shocking and disturbing nightmares as well. I don't know what makes me. I don't know if it's like the way that I sleep, that I'm not completely all the way asleep, and I react to this stuff in real life. I know that for a fact. I can't see whenever I don't have my glasses or my contacts in. So shapes in the night tend to like my brain like recalculates
the Indian.
The Indian. There is a red button on my TV that always turns into three whenever I don't have my glasses on. So the Predator is always in my bedroom.
Yeah, like I've had scary dreams before. I've had nightmares. I had, you know, one nightmare in particular where I had like movie wake up, where you sit straight up in bed and you're covered in sweat and you know, you're breathing heavy. But like mm-hmm. I've never walked across the room or anything like that. I tend to have really wild dreams when I'm at my mom's.
Yeah.
In Gettysburg.
Because you feel like your mom's is haunted, right?
You get a weird feeling at mom's. I don't like to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night at mom's. Whenever I do, I focus on my feet when I'm walking to the bathroom. I don't need to
look a ghost.
I don't need
in the
to
eye.
Get a peripheral view into like down the hallway or into another room or anything because I don't know what's going to be there. So. Yeah, I just keep a focus. But my dreams when I'm down there are always very intense.
Yeah,
they're not necessarily scary. They're just kind of weird, but just very intense. Sometimes scary. So I'm gonna say believe in ghosts because I come from a belief family. And I've heard enough stories and have experienced enough things that something else is out there. Something going on. There's something happening, whether it's just like our brains kicking into another gear, but there's definitely an unexplored part of reality that can tap into that other stuff, whether it's actual spirits of the dead still lurking around, or it's the way our brains process certain things at certain times of the night, or when mm-hmm. we're partially cognizant. There are other weird things.
Yeah, I there's so much out there that's unexplained. I'm starting to. I don't know. Like I don't want to be that person that believes in ghosts.
Well,
but it's some of the shit that scares me. So if I don't believe in it, but it scares me, like.
What I've really taken away from listening to, you know, a fuck ton of Last Podcast on the Left is that why wouldn't you want to believe in that stuff? Why wouldn't you want to believe in a world more exemplary, more extraordinary than our own? Why wouldn't you want to believe that all of this crazy fun stuff exists? Why are you immediately going to shut that down and live in boring old ass reality?
Yeah, people with superstitions, I always look at that whole thing as you know, you knock the salt shaker over, you have to throw the salt over your shoulder, and you always have to eat certain things on certain days, and don't walk under ladders. Well, like all that stuff is nonsense.
A lot of that is actual medical conditions at this point.
Yeah.
I was watching it was on in the background. It was a couple episodes of some shitty ass, like, you know, we're gonna exorcise the demons in your house, like Travel Channel show. And they had like They had a former New York City police detective on the case. And it's him. He's paired up with some like psychic. And it is the biggest piece of shit show that I've ever seen. This guy referred to demons in this lady's house as rat bastards. We're going to get these rat bastards.
He's going to put a hit on this.
It was
awful.
I'm watching this thing and I was like, how can I justify my belief in ghosts when these are the people that I'm watching talking about ghosts and demons when they are just trash people? So Matt, ghosts or no ghosts?
I'm with Ian. I kind of don't believe in them, but at the same time, I'm frightened of them. I wouldn't want to like spend the night at a haunted house that is known to be a haunted house and experience weird shit, even though I kind of think there's an explanation for anything weird that you see. So does that mean I do believe? I don't know. Maybe I'm just a giant pussy.
The more I talk about it on this show every October, I'm confronted with, yeah, dude, you don't believe in it, but why does all this weird stuff that you think of in your mind bother you?
But there is a certain, legitimacy to perception is reality. So if you think you see a ghost, but it's actually some shimmer off like the TV or whatever, what you saw was a ghost, like, doesn't that determine your reality?
No.
But no, you don't know. Like, if that's actually what it was, if something off the TV, but you don't know. Like, you can't confirm one way or the other.
Right.
Who knows what it was you saw? Maybe you actually did if it's a Schrodinger's cat scenario.
Wouldn't you think that in this age of constant surveillance and all these house cameras and door cameras, cameras on your phone, don't you think that we would have been catching more incidences of ghosts? It's the same kind of thing that I think about UFOs, although they recently have had some more compelling evidence,
right,
that there are UFOs. So I'm like, oh, shit, maybe. See, that's the thing. I think that there are some kind of aliens out there.
Well, of course there are.
I don't believe in ghosts. Is it because
it's simple
the realm
science,
of...
Ian.
I'm sorry, Professor fucking Cassell.
It's simple science, Ian. When we die, our spirits are left behind to haunt the grounds we died on.
Absolutely.
Simple science.
Very simple.
Tie up loose ends.
No, so I agree with Professor Cassell's science.
Okay, so there are ghosts out there.
No,
how do
no,
you get
the,
stuck
the UFO
in the
science?
Okay,
why wouldn't there be?
Yeah,
UFOs
absolutely.
Or other
absolutely. Yeah.
Creatures. We are creatures to those creatures.
Yeah, we are.
It's true.
So, right. So ghosts.
I'm all in.
Yeah, so it's one out of...
Let's enjoy life.
One out of three, pro-ghost. Pro-alien? 3 out of 3, baby.
Yeah, you gotta be. Science.
It's science.
It's computers.
Yeah.
Technology.
The future.
That's
Bill and Ted, everybody.
Hey, that wasn't too deep of a cut. Even Paul got it. Paul, bats or black cats?
To
have sex
to with. Meet in an alley or have sex with?
Why can't you do both?
My
to meet in an alley to have sex.
What do I like better? Black cats. Hands down. I love cats. All kinds of cats. Little cats, kittens, big cats, lions, tigers, cheetahs, lynxes, house cats. Devon Rexes, all kinds of cats.
Snow leopards.
I love fucking
what
cats.
What a bad iOS. Continue.
Catalina's not so great yet.
It really isn't. It's fucking my day up.
They took away dashboard, and I'm really fucking pissed.
It blew my Wacom
really
drivers
off about
dashboard. Right out of the city. I can't use my tablet.
Had to uninstall and reinstall fucking Acrobat today. The most simplest of Adobe programs.
That sucks. Yeah, so... fuck you, snow leopard.
So yeah, I mean, black, like, bats are cool, but cats, man, like, cats have an allure, a mystery. Like, I like bats. Bats are cool. They may be a vampire
or a superhero.
Well, or inspirational fodder for a superhero. Psychopath, yeah, with a lot of money.
He's not actually a bat, but but Dracula from Monster Squad is 100%.
Right, or Man-Bat. I mean, he's out there in the mix. Yeah. He was like, I'm going to go
more of a villain.
Straight to the
although
source.
He's more of a hero now, right?
I have no idea, is he?
He is. He's part of Justice League Dark.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Is it? Is it?
I don't know. I haven't read
this shit anymore. Let me just tell you something.
I read the first.
May I?
18.
Get on your
Dark. He's really good in Dark.
It's like the WWF, where it's like good guys and bad guys are changing allegiances every Saturday morning, just because we're bored with status quo and we have to turn everything upside down. I hate it. I hate it so bad.
It's like nothing new to comics, though, buddy. You know.
It feels like it's more common now.
It's only because we're old.
I don't know, man. Wrestling did it back in the day, and it still does it. And it didn't feel like it happens more now.
Because you don't watch wrestling.
Because we're the only podcast that doesn't watch wrestling.
Because it doesn't matter.
We should rename ourselves to the McSauce Non-Wrestling Podcast.
This is as much wrestling as we've talked all year. And we're not really talking about wrestling.
Who's the scariest wrestler?
Undertaker.
I was
always unsettled by Papa Shango.
Who?
Papa Shango.
What does Papa Shango do?
He was a voodoo man. He had like the skull face paint.
And, yeah.
Like he was, okay. Yeah, something about him always just left me.
I don't know. The Undertaker was pretty creepy.
Undertaker was all gimmick.
Until his
creepiness was undercut by Paul Bearer. Papa Shango, though, I wasn't sure, man. I was like,
Ian.
I never really watched wrestling all like that. I guess Mankind, just because he was fucking in real life fucking crazy and really like tortured his body for that shit.
Yeah.
So I'd say that his derangement was scary to me.
So Ian, bat or cat?
Bat. Fuck a cat. Ungrateful fucking pieces of garbage. I'd much prefer a bat over some fucking self-absorbed piece of crap. Not a cat fan.
Cat. Totally a black cat.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cool, man.
Yeah.
They're cool.
I'm sure they're not. Next question.
Well, you're fucked. Well, this will be our last question.
Ooh.
I think for episode 299, the last segment of the 200s.
Put your hand deep into that trick-or-treat bag, pillowcase. Dig deep.
Put it 5 inches into that McDonald's bucket.
Past the razor blades, past the tranquilizers.
The needles.
Well, I don't like that.
Uh-oh.
Needles or razor blades?
I like that.
Needles, because you can reuse them.
You can reuse a razor blade?
After it's buried in the roof of your mouth.
I'm not thinking like shoot up needles. I'm thinking pin needles.
Like, I was thinking
into your Snickers bar.
I was thinking hypodermic because it was the 80s. And
you can't put an entire hypodermic needle in your candy, but you can put a needle in your candy.
Oh,
that's
man.
How they get you. You bite it, and it goes up through the roof of your mouth.
Now, do we know for sure? Like, I feel like this was some overreacting, like, 1980s bullshit that never happened to anybody, but somebody said it one time, or something close to it happened. Nobody fucking cut their mouth up with needles or razor blades,
I think it's ultimately, like, a...
Scare tactics.
An urban myth, yeah. But it's still...
You don't think it ever happened?
Certainly it did. Come on.
I don't think anyone got hurt by it, but I think someone did. I think that's where it came from. Someone did find like a razor blade in some other candy.
Did your folks throw away certain things? Like, I could never have any homemade shit, like popcorn balls or brownies that somebody baked. We always threw that stuff away.
Yeah, we did that stuff too. Like, if, unless we knew the source, we didn't really have homemade stuff. And anything that was open, even if like a Mallow cup like accidentally ripped open or came open at the seam, like that was garbage.
You'd want to throw a Mallow cup away anyway, though.
I fucking love Mallow cups. Not to
poison your fucking
my
body
God.
With.
Mallow cups or Reese's disgusting. Cups. Mallow cups Reese's all cups. The fucking way.
Oh, you're nuts.
I love it. I love coconut and marshmallow so fucking much.
I like coconut, and I can stand marshmallow, but don't put them together. It's not
They're
what God would have
right.
wanted.
They're so disgusting. Good. So good, Matt. Razor blades or needles?
I feel like just the thought of the razor blade is more horrifying. Biting into it and it just slicing right into like your tongue
I
or
think
the
so.
Roof of your
I
mouth.
I think so, too. I'm going to go needle.
Okay.
Okay.
So you
are you
were...
also going to go needle? Because
no,
it's
because
less horrifying.
It's hilarious how Paul didn't listen to anything that you said, and then agreed with the opposite, and now is mad that you're not agreeing with his point. You didn't listen to what he said.
Listen, asshole. I listened to everything he said, but I thought Matt was saying that since the razor blade is so horrifying, I'm gonna pick the needle. Because the razor blade is too horrifying.
I thought we were picking...
is what's more horrifying.
Right. What are we Which picking? What's going to be worse? What do we want to put in candy to cause the most damage?
Yes.
Yes. What would be more horrifying?
Oh, yeah. More horrifying is absolutely razor
Isn't
blades.
Isn't that what we've been picking the whole time? What
I
scares
don't know.
You more?
It just seemed natural in
no,
this case.
No, well, we like more.
Well, we like...
We like to put needles in kids' mouths.
There's all kinds of. I'm looking this shit up online. Mouths. There's all kinds of crazy stuff that people have put in kids' candy.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong then. Maybe
Starting
I thought it was
with arsenic.
Probably...
No, you're not totally wrong. Can I tell you something? Back in 1968, the New York Times reported 26 cases of children in New Jersey finding razor blades in apples they got while trick or treating. Apparently, you got fucking apples in the 60s.
Yeah, luckily. Even those dumb fucking boomers knew to throw those apples away.
In 75% of the cases, the children were uninjured. Two detailed studies of the cases conducted in 1972 and in 1982 determined that all claims were false. And the children had put the razors in the apples themselves to propagate the urban legend. However, not every single instance was written off as a hoax.
So... That idea has reigned supreme for how many years now? Since the 60s?
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit.
You have some kid's Snickers who's dosed with LSD.
See, that's cool.
Candyman. Timothy O'Brien's story isn't the first case of someone trying to kill a kid or cause panic with poison candy, but his is definitely one of the most fucked up. In 1974, a suburban Houston dad passed out poison pixie sticks to five children, including his son and daughter, in order to kill his kid and collect a $40,000 life insurance claim. Sadly, O'Brien's plan kind of worked. His son died, but police collected all remaining poison sugar tubes before arresting O'Brien, dubbed Candyman, who was put to death in 1984.
I think if I would have bit into a razor blade apple as a kid, I would never eat an apple again. Ever. Even if I bit it in a way that it didn't cut my mouth. No. Imagine biting into something as innocuous as an apple and seeing the razor blade sticking in it. Like you're done with that food forever.
Yeah.
It's true.
You know what prank I want to play? I'm not going to play it on you guys because I'm going to tell you. Making candy apples, and handing them out to people, but instead of apples, make them onions. Wouldn't that be funny?
Oh, that's fucked up.
I'm not putting razor blades in it.
Hey, no, but so fucked.
Was that a good one to end with, Paul?
for Matt's prank yet to be completed.
Watch
prank
your,
could be happening to you. So if I offer you a candy apple,
so come down twice. The 30th to get a candy apple from.
Oh, we should totally have candy onions.
No,
to really pull one over.
Maybe we make candy apples, but one of them.
And watch the onion. Watch the hesitancy of our fans as they take the gift of a candied apple.
I think that would be a lot of fun for the three of us.
That's how we would know who really listens.
That's going to do it for us tonight. My name is Paul McGinty.
Ian Sharpley.
Matt Casale.
And we will see you next time for episode 300.
In the flesh.